Now, simple question, where's Bethany? Well, we know the answer to that. Oh, there's Bethany. Oh, of course, sorry, there's Bethany. Well, I've got a different answer to that because I didn't know you were going to be here. But Bethany is 3 kilometres from Tanunda. You all knew that, didn't you? And that's where some of my best friends live, the Gogols. And it's where I stay overnight whenever I'm in the Barossa Valley. And that's why I've usually submitted his name on our call list, but not this time because he's getting too close to retire this time. Now, of course, there is another Bethany, and that's my niece. No, it's not. It is, though, too. But there's a Bethany that's in our text today. And that Bethany is 3 kilometres from Jerusalem. And have any of you been to that Bethany? Because somebody told me after the service today they've been there. Yeah, I haven't. It's the one where Jesus' best friends lived. It's the one where Jesus and his disciples stayed on many occasions, including the one in our text today. Bethany seems to be God's favourite place on earth. That's not my brilliant idea to call the sermon that, but it's the title of this book, God's Favourite Place on Earth, which is the story of Mary and Martha and the family. It's not just because it was so handy to Jerusalem, like going to Synod at Loxton. You think, oh, I know friends at Paringa, I'll go to Synod and I'll stay with them and then I can just skip down the road to Loxton. Well, no, maybe Loxton isn't so close to Paringa, but someplace, new residence or something. Yeah. It's because some of the most memorable events of Jesus' life happened at Bethany. That's why he loved this place so much. And Bethany is the place where I'm sure his best friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, lived, and also where Simon, who was probably their father, also lived. Let me tell you a few things that happened at Bethany. Bethany is the place where Mary sat at Jesus' feet and Martha made this great feast for Jesus. Bethany is the place where Lazarus was raised from the dead. That's memorable, isn't it? Bethany is the place where Simon, who was probably their father, lived, whom Jesus cured of his leprosy. Bethany is the place where Mary anointed Jesus' feet, which we sang about quite a bit in that last wonderful song. Bethany is the place where Jesus stayed in the week leading up to his crucifixion. You remember it says there that Jesus stayed out of town a bit and it said it's at Bethany and he'd walk into Jerusalem every day to preach and get battered by the Jewish leaders and then he'd come walking home again. Remember that's where the fig tree is, somewhere along there that he saw and wanted to get some figs from and there was no figs on them and he cursed it and when he came home it was all dried up. That's where this all happened. Bethany is the place near the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. And Bethany is the place from where Jesus ascended into heaven, according to Luke's Gospel. Read the last verses of Luke. Bethany is the place where Jesus was always welcomed, always loved, and always honoured. And don't you like to go to a place like that sometimes? Where you know you can just sit. And when I was in a parish in my first time, you know, there were some homes that they'd invite you out for lunch or something, or we'd decide, let's go. We'd say to the kids, where would you like to go? And they'd name a place or two. And I'd get pretty tired after services in those days. And I could just sit on the lounge and go to sleep. That's a place where you're welcomed, isn't it? Well, I think it is. Place where you can comfortably go to sleep. That's how this place was. When Lazarus was sick, Mary and Martha sent word to him, and this is what she said, "The one you love is sick." Now that mightn't be so amazing, except that it's never said anywhere else, except about this place. Lazarus died, however, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." Our friend. These words are never said anywhere else except about this family. When Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, the Jews said, "See how he loved him. See how he loved him." And John also tells us that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He loved them. This is so special. Jesus loved this place, Bethany. He loved these people, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he loved to be in their home because he was welcomed there. He was loved there and he was listened to there. People welcomed what he said, and he was wonderfully cared for there by Martha, probably, in her cooking. Doesn't this tell us a lot about Jesus? I think it does. Jesus loves to come where he is welcomed, where he's loved, where he's listened to. This is the point now. Is Jesus welcome in your home? Is Jesus loved in your home? Is Jesus listened to in your home? And in response to that, do you love him and serve him from a happy heart? There were so many places where Jesus was not welcomed. John tells us he came to his own people and they didn't receive him. John 1, that is. And how sad is that? How sad is the home that doesn't welcome Jesus? And isn't that every second home? Even more than that in Australia, where Jesus is not welcome. His name is never mentioned. And if somebody should come in like a pastor and mention it, people would die of embarrassment almost. But Jesus, John goes on to say, but to all who received him, is John 1, he gave the right to become children of God. See, when Jesus comes and he comes into our homes, he makes us his children. We could become part of the family. How wonderful is that? And we become part of his family. He becomes part of our family, we become part of his families. You know, sometimes we say about people, they're like family to us. Well, that's what it is with Jesus. He's like family to us and we're like family to him. And that's certainly how it was with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And that's how he wants it to be with us. When Jesus stands at the door and knocks, he wants us to hear his voice and to welcome him in so that we can eat together, we can have fellowship together, we can love each other, we can be family together. It's what families do, isn't it? They gather around the not around the television to watch football, but around the table to eat and to laugh, to have joy together and love together and fun together. Isn't it like that? That's what it's about. And he's knocking and he says, I want to come in. I want to have fellowship with you around the table. I want to have family time together. After being rejected in so many places, Jesus comes to the home of Mary and Martha and he is welcomed. Martha welcomed him and his disciples into her home. That tells us a bit about the size of the home, don't you think? A whole bang lot of them turn up and they're all welcome. And you can picture the excitement. So many people to show hospitality. This is Martha especially. Whoa, you know, so many people to prepare food for. Martha was in her element. You can imagine the clatter of the pots and the pans and everything. And Mary, she was trying to do her best. But cooking was not her forte. Don't you pick that up? Cooking was not really her thing. Mary was probably a bit like me, trying to prepare meals while Joy was unwell. And I want to thank you for recognizing this serious deficiency in my life and for showing such love and kindness to us in that time. And please do the same for others. Jesus and his disciples and Lazarus and Simon, they're all together there. They enter the home and it doesn't tell you this, but you can imagine this. They drift off into the men's section of the house, because these bigger homes had sections for the men and sections for the women, and the sections for the women were mainly called the kitchen. Right, and it's still a bit like that probably in some places. And so these men, they all drift off on into this section and they begin talking, men's talk about the weather, and there was plenty to talk about this week, wasn't there? And the football, quite a bit to talk about. And above all, they're talking about God. And Mary's not doing so well in the kitchen. She's listening. Not so much to the small talk, because she's not into that, but the moment the discussion gets on to God and Jesus talking about God, she gets really interested, and before she knows it, she's drifted out of the kitchen from beside Martha. She's left Martha, as the text says, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Like St. Paul, who once sat at the feet of his teacher, Gamaliel, so Mary sits at the feet of her teacher, Jesus, and listens and learns and grows as a disciple. And the more Mary listens, the more Martha fumes. You can picture this scene, can't you? You can picture it. Why is she so worked up? She loves cooking. Why is she so worked up? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work all by myself? She was helping me and suddenly she's drifted into the men's room. She's pretending she's a man sitting at the feet of Jesus. Tell her to help me. The problem is really not that Mary is lazy and has left Martha with the dishes. And the problem, as some have suggested, is not that Mary and Martha are both in love with Jesus, although they could have had a bit of a passion for him, but that's not the issue. And Mary has thrust herself at the feet of Jesus in adoration of Jesus. The main problem is probably that Mary has left the woman's work that she's meant to be doing and joined the men who sit at the feet to sit at the feet of Jesus. Who does she think she is, leaving me and the dishes and to join the men and become a disciple? And Jesus answers, Martha, Martha. Was he angry with her? Not at all. Jesus answers Martha in love, but also in concern for her. You remember when Jesus said, and I'm going to give you the passages where these repetitive words come up. Simon, Simon. You remember that one? Simon, Simon. When Simon was trying to talk Jesus out of going to the cross. Simon, Simon. Remember this one? Saul, Saul. When Jesus was drawing Saul, who was out to kill the followers, drawing Saul into his family. Saul, Saul. What about this one? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Was he angry at Jerusalem? Not at all. He was sad. He loved Jerusalem. And he was so sad that they were going to all be destroyed because they were rejecting him. And what about the bigger one? My God, why have you forsaken me? Love, love, words of love. Jesus doesn't stop loving us when we make poor choices. And when we get frustrated as we try to do too much, or when we stay at home to prepare meals instead of coming to worship, which was a common practice in the past, but not so much these days, I think. Nothing that we ever do or fail to do stops Jesus from loving us. Jesus does not judge Martha here or us. When we prepare, when we're preparing meals, or when we're going out of our way to help other people, or when we serve on committees which nearly drive us batty sometimes, or when we go coach sports teams. No, Jesus commends all those who serve him. But the issue that Jesus is highlighting in our text for Martha and for us is when all these good acts of service distract us from Jesus and his word. When we get so frustrated and worked up about all those good things that in the end we've totally forgotten about Jesus, forgotten to listen to him, forgotten for his word that applies in that situation. You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needful. As Jesus says in Matthew 6, don't worry about food and clothes and money and sport and selfies and freezers, power going off and having three homes with a massive mortgage or having a, what is it, sufficient superannuation as we get dangled in front of us all the time. The other day though, I was told you need $1 million to retire on. What rubbish. But Jesus says there's one thing that we're to do, seek first the kingdom of God. Only one thing is needful. He does say, I'll look after the rest. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't have an accountant, I'm sure, but I'll look after the rest. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. God's favourite place on earth is to be with those who welcome him into their homes and into their hearts and into their churches. Life is made up of so many good things all over the place, but sadly, as good as they are, they can and often do distract us from Jesus and from his word and from his love and from his forgiveness. But Jesus is welcomed and loved at Bethany. From there, he moves on. Remember this. From Bethany, it is that he moves on in love to be rejected and crucified for us all. For Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Simon, for you and me, and for all those who welcome him and for all those who reject him, including those he forgave at the cross. It is as the one who died for our sins and who rose again to give us eternal life. That's the one who comes to us now, here and now. Will you welcome him? Will you be a Bethany for him? I think that's good. Will you be a Bethany for him, a place of welcome for him? Will you welcome him into your home and into your heart and love him and listen to him? And then go out and serve gladly, joyfully, because you know you're so loved by him. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.